Hello again, and welcome to Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW's Supergirl, and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Chris.
And I'm Katie.
And this week, we watch the four-part mega crossover Crisis on Earth-X. And when we say this week we watched it, what we really mean is like 2 weeks ago. This is all totally my fault. I got really sick and lost my voice. Well, first I lost my voice and so we couldn't record. Oh my gosh. Can you hear my stomach growling?
I mean, I couldn't.
Okay. All right.
Now I'm going to be listening for it.
I was afraid I felt like I could hear it through the headphones. And I was like, oh my gosh, is it that loud that it's picking that up? Anywho. First I lost my voice on the night that we were supposed to record our episode about this big crossover. And then after that, when we had rescheduled to record about it again, I ended up getting very sick for like a week and a half. And so sorry, everybody, totally my fault. Thank you for sticking with us. And Katie, thank you for being so understanding about having such a sickly podcast partner.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
I mean, December is a trying time, so yeah. It's, I get it. And also, if you can't speak, we can't really do the podcast.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there was much to be done. Luckily, now granted, I can't speak for you, but I have not watched the episode that comes after this yet, the one that kind of closes out the first part of the season.
I have before. Not either.
Yeah, I figured you didn't. But, you know, after that, we have, like, no episodes, so it won't be that hard to catch up. If we had to get particularly behind on episodes, it's probably better that we did it now, because we will have plenty of time to kind of catch up. And if our listeners are anything like us, they probably are behind on the show, too. So, although maybe they jumped ahead to watch this one, because this one, I will admit, was some pretty entertaining.
Yeah, if this was like the only thing,
pretty good crossover.
If this was the only time you checked in with these shows every year, I think, you know, when they do these crossovers, but especially this year, I think this one was probably the best one of these crossovers they've done.
Matt Santori, who is one of the main editors for Comicosity, was telling me how he's behind on literally every other show, like all the CW shows, right. And he doesn't know when he's going to catch up. But he watched this one because Nazis get punched in this one.
Yeah.
Spoilers for a crossover that came out like 2 weeks ago as we're recording this. Nazis get punched.
Yeah, which was certainly satisfying, even though there could have been even more punching for my tastes.
Yeah, and I guess I'll say off the bat that I know that there were some mixed responses to the concept I know that there are some people considering that another comic company dabbled in the idea of what if one of our heroes was actually our allegory.
Yeah, this felt so completely, which I hated Secret Empire, and I completely enjoyed this.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that I am also I'm totally in the camp of, I think this is very different. I think alternate universe versions of characters is fair game in a way that making the main canon characters into fascists is not.
Yeah.
I also think the fact that we have heroes that were, and we have a crossover in this that is very clear that there's no two sides about this.
Yeah,
these are awful. This is an awful regime that
no
must
point
be stopped.
Do we not know who the good guys and the bad guys are? There's no discussion about all of that.
One of the parts I heard before I got to watch the episodes was that I heard that all, because there are all different Wellses on different Earths, like that's kind of the gag of the Flash, is that there are all these different Harrison Wells and they're all on different Earths, and they all apparently decided as a group that Earth X does not get a number because Nazis. Sorry, I did not mean to. I forgot that we don't swear on this. You will bleep that out. But basically, but I think it was if I'm going to swear,
yeah, that's
about
I would
anything.
I would say that's the one where I mean, obviously I'm still going to bleep it, but the sentiment I do not have any problem with.
Yes, if you can't tell, I realized the moment after I said that. Oh right, we don't do it on this podcast. But anyway, yeah. But the point is that all of the different universes just decided, no, they don't get a number.
Yeah.
We're not even going to talk about them. Yeah, yeah. We're not going to talk about these guys.
The thing I'll say is with this is the thing. I mean, I love the idea of going like, oh, there's like the bad guy. The premise of this whole thing, I'm totally down for. And I know that you kind of, there's a ton of suspension of disbelief involved with just watching these shows to begin with. And so when you extrapolate that out to where you've got, alternate universes and places where it's like, oh, everything is switched, where it's like all the good guys are bad guys, all the bad guys are good guys. That kind of stuff is all fine and fun. And it's obviously a long storied comic tradition to have the good guys go meet their bad guy versions. So I accept it. But I have to say, like, I have to get it off my chest that it's like the idea that the big difference in the world is that the Nazis won World War II, but everyone else is like exactly the same except for they are bad guy versions of themselves is so dumb. Like,
yeah, it's as
Oliver Queen's life would be so different. There would be no reason for him to become Green Arrow or Dark Arrow, whatever his name. Also, there'd be no reason for him to be like, he's only Dark Arrow because we know the good guy version is Green Arrow. So it's like, there's no reason that he wouldn't also be, you know, the Arrow or Green Arrow or whatever, or just all of this stuff is so, you just have to go with it. You just have to roll with it. But I just passed it.
That, like, for the butterfly effect, nobody would exist, like, Oliver Queen wouldn't exist because there'd be so many things that were vastly different about the world.
Yeah.
That, like, his parents would not have, like, conceived at the same time, he wouldn't look the same.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He might not even name him the same. Like, all of these things bother me so much. The only person I could honestly see that almost makes sense is possibly Kara, because Kara comes to this planet so, like...
Yeah.
You know
question,
what I mean?
Where's Superman during all of this?
Yeah, okay, so, oh my gosh, we're going to get into some deep,
the Germans winning World War II wouldn't change into outer space Clark's ship being sent to Earth, you know?
This is what bothers me. There are actually a couple things that bother me, and we might as well get into this now, and then we'll go into actual plot stuff. So, you know, there's always been a question of, like, how Kara fits in, because, you know, her Earth, like, she is Supergirl and her cousin is Superman, and there's potentially also heroes in Gotham that have not been named yet, but we all know who they're talking about.
Right.
And then we have, you know, everybody on Earth 1, and then all of their counterparts on different Earths, and you kind of just go like, well, I guess Kara's Earth is just separate because they're saying so. But then they bring up, and again, it's, do you remember that episode of Futurama when Hermes is like, when they're like, how did my house burn down? And like, that's a very good question. It's underwater. And then Bender goes, so that's where I put my cigar. And he goes, that just raises further questions in this bewildering voice. That's where I was when they were like, how does it make sense that there's an evil Kara?
Yeah.
And that's a good question. And then Wells says, oh, there's a Kara on all Earths. And I went, wait, hold the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Who? What? This is, what?
Well, you have to it's like you have to posit that the Arrowverse universe doesn't have a Krypton. Because there hasn't been there's no Kara, there's no Superman.
But previously,
yeah. This is sort of like how we've had to look at it. It's just like, okay, yeah. those two universes are so different, even
or
though
it didn't
everything
explode or yeah, something. Or, like something,
you know,
happened.
Yeah. But even though everything seems perfectly like there's something different out there in the universe. Which, man, yeah, you start pulling these threads of like,
So I don't know what,
It's kind of like when they were making, when they started making some of these shows, they did not know they were going to keep making more shows that were going to be on different networks and then get moved networks and all of this kind of stuff.
I mean, I get it, and I give them a little flexibility, but it's like they're trying to lampshade a thing that we had already just accepted as not being spoken of. Yeah. And then they lampshade it really hard, even in scenes where they didn't really have to explain it.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you, are you setting up something else? Or are you just making this harder for me as a person who has to evaluate these shows?
It feels like maybe they are doing that, that kind of thing where they're going, you know what, let's just not worry. Let's worry more about the people who don't watch these shows every week, who are just tuning in for this. Let's try to just get them...
I guess, but even I feel like that would even make other people go like, but where's that other Kara then? There has to be a Kara on this.
Yeah.
It's fine. So I guess we'll talk about, I think this episode or this crossover was far superior in many ways to the old one.
The one from the last year with the Dominators.
The one that we barely, we basically, when we were still writing for Comics Alliance, we were reviewing the first episode where Barry shows up in the last like minute.
Yeah.
And then that, and that's what counted as our part of the crossover. And I was so mad because I wanted to do any of the other parts.
Yeah.
So it was really nice that this one felt way more cohesive.
Yeah. This definitely felt like it was all put together at once. And not just kind of like individual episodes where they were kind of trying to throw pieces together. It seemed much, much better planned out.
I agree. I also...
And it benefited. It totally, like, the enjoyment and the fun of, like, kind of riding this, like, multi-night roller coaster completely benefited and just felt, like, way more fun that way. And
yeah,
this
was, absolutely. I mean, we start off... We started off with seeing the Flash fight King Shark to the because I am a comic person on Twitter, I just kept shouting the Gail Simone meme. He's a shark because here's the thing, he has been on the Flash before, but every time he comes on, it's so great because they let King Shark be a character on the Flash.
Right.
Like, what glorious times we live in when this is the kind of stuff that shows up in our superhero shows.
I will say, though, that this, that scene, the first time you see King Shark, oh my gosh, this is also just, now, all right, so a little behind the scenes here, right before we started, we were talking about how much we didn't remember about the episode.
And you've completely forgot?
Well, no, because it's been so long. But now, as we're talking about this, I said I hoped that as we just talked about it, that it would like jog memories loose about the about what happened and my thoughts on it as I was watching it. And it a moment just clearly came into focus. One part was the fact that the first time we see King Shark and we see Flash fighting him really gave us the first indication that it's like, they're going to be shooting for the moon with the special effects on this crossover, but they are going to be, I don't want to say bad, but they, I appreciate that it seemed like they were, instead of playing things safe with a lot of the special effects throughout this and some of the big special effects heavy scenes, they overshot their reach. And just were like, you know what? Just go for it. Even if it doesn't look as good as it possibly could. And of course, we know that these things are on a very tight schedule to get this stuff done. But there were some parts where I was just going like, ooh, boy. But I also applauded them for trying to do the special effects that were harder to do anyway. Like that scene where there's a scene later on, just this is jumping ahead, but like a scene in like the second episode, I think, where Supergirl and... The Flash and Green Arrow have to try to save that building, that construction site that's falling apart. And it's like the CGI versions of them are just so wonky and the camera's just like flying around and it looks so awkward. Anyway, but during all of that, that opening scenes where we're seeing Flash fight King Shark, and we're seeing Oliver fight a bunch of ninjas, and we're seeing Supergirl fight one of the Dominators. And everyone, though, at the same time is having these conversations about,
yes,
hey, about, we got to get to this wedding.
RSVP.
And yeah. It immediately reminded me of, I forgot just how much I had enjoyed not having to watch Arrow anymore, because I remembered how much I immediately, just it all came rushing back to me, how much I hate Felicity.
See, I don't mind Felicity. Granted, I never had to watch the show, and I was never obligated to watch a show like you were, because you also did the Arrow recaps. Yeah. So I only had to see her when she was with other character, like in these crossover things. So I never had to, I don't have that much loathing. Well, but I will say, I feel like we will get into this later. I don't want to, but she and Oliver do some stuff in this that actually yeah. I ended up photo documenting on Twitter, because it was amazing. It was amazing how terrible they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, they're the worst.
But we will get into that. I want to have its own little section of this and of this episode.
Let me be clear when say this, and I always tried to be clear about this when we were doing the Arrow recaps as well. But well, not you and I, but when me and Matt and me and Emma were doing the Arrow recaps, was like that. My problem is not with the actress. My problem is not with the character herself. Sort of like the idea of the character. My problem is like how often I feel so bad for the actress, because she is given like such terrible things to do, like personality wise. And some of the things they just have her say, and I'm just like, I would not want to be this actress. Like, cause I'm like, you're just making, I so often feel like you're making this character seem just so, say and do things. And it wasn't all through this thing, thankfully, but there was like so many times, like during the, during the series when we were watching it, where it was like, I just feel so bad for her, because they're like scapegoating. They're like, we need someone to be the person that says this stuff, and we're just going to have her do it in a way that's not trying very hard. Or they're just like, you're making her seem like such an unreasonable person. And it's like to the point where I was just going like, no one acts like this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's like a whole other thing. And we can get back onto the topic of just talking about what's happening in the show. But it's, oh boy, that was like a real splash of cold water in the face when I was like, oh, I'm going to have to be dealing with you again. I completely forgot about you. I had completely pushed you out of my brain. And now here you come back. And just the first time you see her, she's like giving Oliver a really hard time about like this. About this wedding thing, when it's like, hey, I'm just a normal, well-trained guy. This is hard. I'm trying to fight a bunch of ninjas. This is not easy. It's one thing when Supergirl is just, you know, she's Supergirl. She can fly and beat things up, and it's not that hard of a problem if someone is like, if she's having a phone conversation while it's going. I know they're trying to do like a cutesy thing. Yeah. I have to get this
That's
vitriol.
Fair.
I have to get it out. Before.
I think it's fair to say that even on Supergirl, even though I think it's the smallest offender of this in the long run, that's oftentimes the women on these CW shows are written unevenly. I think that's fair.
Yes.
I am more a defender of Iris West as a character, but I agree that like both the writing of her and the writing surrounding her is often really stifled, and that's not the fault of the character concept, it's not the fault of the actress. It really and I think that that's an important like distinction to make, because I've seen
so many
people
absolutely.
Be like, oh, she's a bad character, and
it's like, she doesn't have to be.
Recognize that like, yeah, they could easily change things up. And I will say that for this crossover, they at least did a much better job than last year of having lots of team-ups between women and having a lot of the women do things across the board.
Yeah.
So I appreciated the fact that there was a lot of like women relationships and them realize, okay, we got it, like different groups of them, even though there, I think there were arguably way more characters in this crossover than in the last one.
By far.
And they did a pretty good job of even, I don't know, we'll talk about a couple characters that got taken out pretty quickly. But for the most part, there was a lot of chances for all of the characters to have like at least one or two moments of bravery against like fighting Nazis, which I really appreciated.
To give them all the credit in the world for this is what was great about this thing was that they really did. It felt like they swung for the fences because they were like, all right, we're going to bring in so many characters. We're going to introduce new characters. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to bring back people that you haven't seen in a while. Oh, but it's a different take on them. And, you know, like there's that one big sort of like, like just dun-dun-dun shot in the, I guess it's in the last episode where you just see all of these Arrowverse superheroes lined up and it's just huge, goes all the way across, you know, that pan across all of them is just, it's like, yes, this is great. And it was a ton of stuff and a ton of characters to try to keep, juggling.
I will say, I'll say a small complaint kind of here just to point it out that one of the things, I mean, we've complained about the lack of Jimmy having anything like really substantial to do. And also I know that a lot of people who watch The Flash have been frustrated with how Wally has been treated in terms of like kind of stifling his
development,
his hero identity. There's been a lot of like them not really bolstering up his character. So in this one, Jimmy dies immediately, scene.
I was like, oh, cool. Jimmy's even, I didn't think he was even going to be on it. And to have him show up, you know, you get this sort of like the super American freedom fighter, Captain America sort of version of him on this alternate Earth.
Yeah.
But it does kind of make you go like, oh, he's a good guy on the other Earth too. Why is there no Jimmy in the Arrowverse that we've seen so far?
These are the questions that I have. What happens when you bring up these things, show. I'm not talking to you, Chris. I'm talking to the shows. Yes. Now that makes sense. But yeah, so he dies really quickly. It does kind of make sense why later on Badass Win is like so frustrated because arguably his friend died in the first episode. Yeah. We can at least assume that like he's already lost someone.
But if the world is so different, jump. Why would they even know each other? How would they possibly even know it? We can't keep getting hung up on this.
So, and then the other thing is that that Wally does get, he gets a scene at the wedding where he gets to be awesome with like a very cool look. His kind of brother of the bride look is
looking
really
super sharp.
He looks super sharp.
Yeah.
Like his hairstyle a little differently. Looks super cool. And he has like a cool moment where he snatches a bullet and I think he flings it back at the. Yeah. Yeah, it's super cool.
Oh, but then we should say, I mean, I'm sure everyone knows, but the whole point of this crossover starts off because Barry and Iris are getting married and everyone's coming together for the wedding, which is like such a great fun thing. And like the way that they put all that together and they have the different people hanging out, all loved it.
It's so good.
It's great.
I don't want to just be so negative.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to point out the stuff that was good.
Largely, like so much of this was good, but I wanted to like, cause these were things that were sticking in my mind for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But then, so Wally gets that scene and then it's no Wally, you need to, you need to protect Dad, which like, okay, yes, I get it. But also you don't see him again. Like he's not in that like group shot towards the end. And I would have really liked for him to have been like, okay,
you'd
Wally,
think he'd come in handy.
Yeah, like a second speedster would have been really important for this. So I was a little disappointed, especially because the show has already gotten criticized for not using him very well, and this felt like another time. So it had a couple of problems there. But going back to like the actual plot, so we talked about how it sets up each of the shows by having first Barry and Iris talking while he's fighting King Shark about them having sent all the RSVPs. It does seem a little weird that everybody's sending the RSVPs back the day before the wedding. I was like, I know how weddings work.
This is not how you do this. Maybe in superhero. Maybe in with superheroes.
In these earths, yeah.
Yeah.
And also for like plot contrivance. But then it shows each of the heroes, each of the groups during a big fight. And my favorite part was when the people who can travel through time were like, guys, we have to decide if we're going to this wedding. I'm like, why? Yeah. You can travel through time. You can get there whenever you want.
You literally you never have a reason to hurry.
It's also kind of, I'm guessing it's just because they wanted to kind of stack up the witch characters. Yeah. But it is a little weird that the other scientist who Barry knows was not invited, but like I don't even know if he really interacted a ton with who's the Lance in this?
Sarah,
right?
Yeah. White Canary.
But they needed White Canary. Or like I guess the professor
Professor Stein?
Yeah, Stein, he had interacted with. That makes sense. But yeah, Ray Palmer's just not there until fourth episode.
He has some kind of line when he shows up. I can't remember what it was, but he has some kind of line because I saw someone else make note of, make kind of like a joke or something about this. He has a line about like where he was or why he wasn't at the wedding or whatever, something. But it's also him and some of the other people, the ones who like show up at the end. Just to jump back real quick before I forget,
we're jumping around a lot this episode, but writing,
think about how much a difference it made on that Midvale episode when we talked about like how well the characters were written and how genuine and sincere they seemed, like where they seemed like real people, and then contrast that with the way that so often characters like Felicity and sometimes these, like love interest characters get written.
Yeah.
And it's especially, I feel like Arrow is just the worst, example of it. Like it's like, and also, I mean, I feel like Arrow still has the hardest time because since Arrow was the first show and none of these other shows would happen. And each of them has gotten to, sort of benefit from the lessons and mistakes they made on Arrow and the lessons they learned with Arrow. But so much of that stuff, it seems like they learned their lesson on Arrow and then applied that lesson to make The Flash better and to make Supergirl better and to make Legends better. But they're still making the same, but they don't fix it on Arrow. They're just like, well, this is just kind of how that show is.
We need to make them consistently like selfish, like
as though people, it's kind of like it seems sort of like they think maybe we've already established that this is what people on Arrow are like. And if we change that, even though we've learned that this is not the best way to do this, and if we write these people more like three-dimensional real characters, people enjoy it more. We'll just apply those lessons. Or it's like, Arrow is just so like dark and brooding. The character and the show, it's just dirty feeling, it's so much grimier feeling than Flash but then Flash has still got some of that, and it's more noticeably brighter on Supergirl. But then by the time you get to Legends, it's like Legends is just a Technicolor explosion, like
it is just throw caution to the wind.
Yeah. They're just like, let's get crazy with it, guys. Like we can do whatever they've gotten to the point. They're like, look, we've got a show on almost every night of the week.
Yeah.
Let's get crazy with this. And it shows in how fun Legends, Legends is way more fun to watch, and the characters sort of, it feels like it feels like the characters are having more fun doing what they're doing. But then it's like Arrow has still got all these problems where it's like, y'all have clearly learned not to do this. Why are you still like, it's just kind of boggling, but it goes back to like what you were saying with the quality of the writing. And like, sometimes you can tell, especially when it's like just the women are sort of acting in some of these things. And then you watch an episode like Midvale, where it's like, oh, not only is this episode like about, it's basically the whole cast is just nothing but women on that episode. And then, oh, it turns, and this episode was written by two women. It's like, eh, maybe you should get a little more, maybe there should be some more women in the mix writing these things, especially when you've got something like this where there are so many female characters. I don't know. Maybe they're like, look, this is just what Felicity's like. We know she's, I don't know. And some people love her, and I'm like, how? She seems so terrible. the way that they, anyway. All right.
Yeah. So we get to, I'm trying to think where to take the topic. Oh, you know what we have not talked about yet, which actually pertains to something fairly recently that happened on Supergirl, and that we were anticipating could potentially happen, and then absolutely happened, was Sarah and Alex hooking up.
Yes.
Which I was tentatively, I was like, all right, like, I was prepared for it, and then it happened, and I feel like for the most part, look, people are going to be frustrated by how things happen with Maggie, and I still 100% understand. We've talked at length about my frustrations with how that was written, but in terms of how these two women were written as like kind of new friends who then completely jumped into a situation.
People like to hook up at weddings. Single people like to hook up at weddings. It's as simple as that. And it's
100% in Sarah's frame. I've been on and off with Legends of Tomorrow. I'm planning on jumping back in because of a certain thing that the crossover solidified was going to happen in the next few episodes, at least, which we will talk about. but I've seen bits and pieces, and I've really liked how that show has developed her as a character, where she's very much a leader, and her team loves her, but she also is a bi woman who is totally okay with romancing people throughout history, which is the kind of thing that I like to see.
Well, and she's a character who has come back from the dead and had a very hard time adjusting to it and getting to a point where she can be like live sort of like a normal life for a superhero, at least. And it's like, so the way she approaches some of these things where it's just like, she's very forward and it's like, yeah, just like, she's very just like, yeah, go for it. Like she doesn't have that same kind, some of the same kind of,
like anxieties that Alex has.
Yeah, like anxiety and inhibitions, because she's like, I've died already. I'm not going to worry about some of the stuff. It's like, if something seems like a good idea at the time, you know, it feels very much it, like within what we know of her character to be like, yeah, this, like, and the two of them are hitting it off, and it's at a wedding with an open bar. And it's like, and it felt totally, all of that felt so like totally fine and in character for them, and like was like, yeah, this is a good fun thing.
I also feel like there are a couple things that really worked for it besides like their interaction. I really like the fact that they both commiserated over like having a sister that they were scared for, and Sarah opening up about her sister dying. Yeah. I thought that was a really good way to get them to a point where they both kind of felt comfortable with each other again. Yeah. But I also really like the fact that this wasn't like a revelation that anybody else found out about except for Kara. And I like the fact that Kara is completely, she's a little bemused, but largely she's very supportive of her sister. She's like, it's fine. You had a fling. It happens. This is a wedding and you're okay. I am giving you permission to be okay about this.
Yeah.
But I like the fact they could have easily written something where everybody else found out and was then looking at the two of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there could have been so many ways that this could have been played for laughs. And instead it was like, it was a very, like, not super at Alex's expense, more like, oh yeah, this would feel very awkward if you were put in that position.
Well, and Kara's whole thing is like, she obviously has like no problem with it. The thing to her that's funny is just that it's sort of, Alex is so tight-laced And so does not just jump into things. She's like so measured and so like, you know, tries to always be so in control. And then doing something, it's like totally out of character for her, in that having a one night stand is out of character for her. So it's like she's, you know, the way that it felt like to me, the way Kara played that was, or the way the actress played it, you know, the way they wrote it was that she's like pleased as punch. Like, it's just like, it tickles her that, you know, that she went and, but that it's, and it tickles her that like Alex feels embarrassed about it when she's like, you don't have any reason to be embarrassed about this. So it's more that she, it's like she's tickled about her sister's awkwardness about it.
Yeah.
Not at all about, anyway. So that was a super fun thing. And to have it just happen so like, they really didn't waste any time getting to that part, which people had been hoping something like that would happen. You know, when they announced this crossover, and when, once we knew that Alex was going to be a part of it.
Yeah. It was also nice. Someone else pointed out that, that Alex got to use some of her science knowledge, because if you recall, she has a science background, and a lot of times they really forget about it.
They don't seem to mention that too much on the show anymore.
No, not really. So it was really nice, though, to see that all the sciencey characters were like at work to fix whatever problem was in the moment, because there were several sciencey problems.
Man.
And I really liked the fact that she was right in the thick of it.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Can we just talk for a moment about how funny it is when TV shows, which are, you know, written by people who are not super science geniuses,
yes,
have to try to I just realized, I was like, it must, it, you know, I was thinking, obviously, you know, we both, you way more so than me even, but, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, but like how funny it is when you see people, it feels like you can just feel the writer struggling to write someone that has to be so much, is supposed to be so much smarter than they are.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, there was just so much stuff with all the science stuff. And I'm not a scientist, but even I was, there was parts where I'm just like, come on, guys, you know, this is just like, you're just throwing, you know, nonsense words against the wall and hoping no one pays attention.
Absolutely.
Which is just, it's like, it's in something else, it would be irritating. You know, but in this, like, it's just sort of like
too far.
But in this, it's kind of like, because everything is just sort of like so big and so over the top with some of this stuff. I mean, there's a Nazi planet for crying out loud.
I was gonna say King Shark exists.
Yeah, yeah.
We've gone. There's like time travel is just kind of willy nilly.
In the in the midst of this, instead of being irritating, I was just like, oh, this is cute. It felt. I mean, and even though we're complaining about the quality of the writing in some places, with stuff like this in this kind of context, I just go like, it feels like kids going like, let's put on a show. And it's like, yeah, we don't know how all this stuff actually works, but just say something. It's fine.
So I also, while we're kind of still in the wedding slash, I think, wedding rehearsal area.
While we're still in the first 15 first minutes episode, of the first episode.
We're going to push through this, but we need to set up the back. So I will say it was really nice because to actually pull in, and it doesn't get a ton of focus, but to pull in some of Kara's frustrations from the recent episodes and have a little bit of time for her and Barry to talk about their friendship. And it made me so happy for the friendship that they've developed, because obviously, like, they're pretty clear, especially because, like, Iris survived her like rumored death last season. Like, I think Barry and Iris are pretty much endgame for that show. I just don't see them like splitting them up again, because that would be stupid. I say this and then they will do that immediately, because that's how my life is.
Yeah, let's not overestimate these, like, show's chances of being not stupid.
Yeah, I know. But I really like the fact that Barry is clearly like not a single, you know, he is a presumably straight, like, married person now. And it is really nice to see his friendship with Kara has not changed, that it's very strong, that they both have, like, they have such a good dynamic. And it's such a refreshing it's such a refreshing friendship to see. And I really liked when she was talking about her, like, the stuff that was involved with all of her drama recently, and he's doing the checklist until he gets to, and then he came back from the future with his wife, and he goes, oh, that hasn't happened to me yet. I don't have advice for that one. Everything else I've done, that's me.
Yeah.
Like, yes, Barry, we know totally... how many times you screwed up the timeline.
I would love to be able to see the two of the, like, an episode or two a season. Or just like, I would love to get to see them just hang out and be friends and not even do superhero stuff, or maybe do like a little superhero stuff.
I know, like, that you're not like as hugely into musicals as I am, but if they do another musical this season, I will be so happy.
I hope they do.
It was so charming. But like the fact that their friendship, and then the fact that they brought in a reference to the musical, because like she wasn't going to be like his best man, but she gets to sing the song that he wrote Iris in the musical episode to re-propose to her.
Yeah.
And she's singing the song for her friend as the love of his life walks down the aisle. Was incredibly sweet.
It was fair. Yeah.
And then the Nazis come, like, immediately.
Also,
and apparently no one cares that they basically revealed them. Once Barry, like, started going to speed mode, I'm like, I get it, you're trying to make people safe, but also, they can all see you.
Well, I think someone has a line of, they've got some kind of thing.
A race thing, like the time travelers do. Like, they have a mind eraser
or whatever, like
a Men in Black-esque thing.
Yes, exactly.
But it is one of those throwaway lines. I'm like, okay, yeah, you get a pass, but only barely show.
Yeah, I like, though, that there's a point where you go, secret identity or not, we got to do this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I got to say, and this was like a real, like, holy cow, what? Moment for me was the fact that the pastor or priest or, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, he just dies.
Well, no, but I was going to say that's William Catt, the guy who played.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay. So he was the guy that played, he's in Carrie. He's been in a ton of stuff, but most importantly, or probably what he is most well known for, besides Carrie is, well, sorry, now I just have to say this because it popped in my brain. He was almost Luke Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
But the thing he is, and there's like footage of him doing his like, his auditions and stuff where it's him as Luke and Kurt Russell as Han Solo. And anyway, not important. Now I'm going to be thinking about that. I'm going to want to find the YouTubes of that when we get done. But he's best known in comic circle or superhero circles for playing the Greatest American Hero, if you remember.
Oh,
that.
Oh, right. I think someone had mentioned that to me.
Where the guy gets an alien suit that gives him superpowers and it only works for
him. Oh, I know what the Greatest American Hero is, aka the best theme song.
Believe it or not, yes.
Yes.
I was more explaining for the
audience.
In case people are not familiar. This is a short-lived 1980s TV show. I think it did three seasons. That I absolutely loved as a kid. But he's like a school teacher who aliens abduct him and give him... I don't know if they abduct him. They may just give him the suit. I can't remember. But they give him this suit that gives him superpowers. And it's basically like Superman. He's got like a whole... But it only works for him. And he loses the instructions for it. So it's like he's like really clunky at being a superhero, and it's funny, but it's in the vein. It was one of those TV shows in the vein kind of the Incredible Hulk at the time. And plus Superman, this Christopher Reeve, I think the first, maybe the second Superman movies had both come out and were like huge hits. So people were wanting to get in on that action, but that's like, it was so crazy to go like, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? And then to just so unceremoniously get evaporated. I was like, well, I guess he won't be back. But it was like that thing of, you know, when the guy shows up in that first scene on the plane of that episode where I was like, you look too familiar to not be playing a major part in this episode. And then he becomes the cult leader. I had that same thing where I
honestly thought that it was going to be a secret, like, if there are any objections, oh wait, there are, because I'm one of the Nazis.
Oh yeah, no. When I saw that it was him,
he dies.
I thought he was gonna turn out to be part of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Also,
and then was not.
Now that this was a thing that I can't remember for the life of me if it ever came back. But what was the deal with that girl who came up to Barry? Oh,
okay. So I don't know this for sure, but I've seen other people rumor. I think this is setting up something the Flash is going to come. I'm pretty sure okay. That's supposed to be. And I was largely, I had heard this rumor, but I also kind of would have guessed it on my own, honestly, because I know how that show works. I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Barry and Iris's either daughter or granddaughter from the future.
From the future. And that's how wonderful.
And that's why she was, I know.
Yes.
I mean, nothing ever goes wrong in the Flash with time travel.
Right.
Going back to experience important moments in your parents' lives is never a problem on the Flash.
Yeah.
But, the two things that really sealed it was one, that the character was played by a woman of color. So, you know, and since Iris is her mother. And then the other thing is the fact that she basically acts exactly how Barry would act if he had gone back in time pretended to be the caterer at his own parents' wedding and just not lied very well at all.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited to be like,
I just really like weddings, she said.
Yeah. I really like weddings. And then him being like, okay, who's this weirdo? I'm like, that's how you act all the time, Barry Allen. That's you. That is you. That is your genes in that person.
Yeah.
So well, I can't say cute. For sure, but if I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing. Awesome.
I just was like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be something. She's going to be like
and a
crazy.
And then it didn't happen. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're setting it up for.
Did they just drop that? Okay. Well, instead of it being oh, this is a bad guy or someone that's just waiting for the bad thing to happen. That makes me want to watch The Flash more now.
Don't. Not. Oh. I shouldn't say that. Well. That's mean. But, like, that's mean. But I'm just saying, it's like, it's not quite as bad as Arrow from what I've heard. But it's also
it
one couldn't of those shows.
Be.
No, it couldn't. But it's also one of those shows that surprises you when it becomes disappointing. And then you're like, oh, show. I know you can do better than this. I've seen it. It's right there. So. I would say, like, it's a good show to watch when you hear there's a really good episode.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm trying to think what we can. I mean, so we find out that they're evil. It is super obvious that this is evil Ollie and evil Kara.
I love the idea that when
it takes them very long time to figure it out.
Yeah, I love the idea that. Oh, the bad guy versions of us all wear full face mask, and it's definitely not to hide the fact that it's not the same actor or actress fighting each other.
And also the reveal, but also like I said, knew,
of course,
even before, even if we hadn't gotten a whole lot of marketing, like we are people who understand how these cues work.
Yeah,
I find it hilarious that evil Oliver and evil Kara are completely in love with each other, and regular Kara's reaction to this was, "Ew, gross!"
Yeah,
and then realizing that Ollie was right next to her. I don't like this at all. I also don't like that I'm apparently a Nazi in that universe, but also I really don't like this.
Yeah,
that is not a good image.
That Kara's reaction is to be grossed out. And it's like he's standing right there.
I mean, that was a lot of people's reactions on Twitter because I got spoiled for that part where and I only saw the kiss, so I was like, oh my god, what happened to the crossover? And then when I realized that it was, doppelgangers, it's fine. Everybody, it's fine. It's fine. We don't have to worry about this.
I wouldn't have predicted putting the two of them together, but then they do it and it's like, oh, okay, that's an interesting way to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Oliver is very, intense all the time. So, having an intense alien who was, I don't know. I could see it in terms of evil versions of themselves, and it's just kind of a funny image.
You know what though?
Of course, this is what the wrong universe would,
yeah,
would put together.
Exactly. Would put the wrong these people who are so don't go together.
Yeah,
I gotta say, as much as I think that she is the perfect casting, it's got to be one of the best, most inspired, perfect castings in comic live action stuff history. As great as she is at being Supergirl, I was like, you just are not good at being evil.
You know, I really liked that first season episode with Kryptonite.
Yes, which she really, on that one, I was like impressed by her pulling off like this evil version. Yeah. And then, or, you know, that evil version. But then this one, I was just going like...
It's a little melodramatic.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe she's going for...
I was going to say, it's a little sad how it didn't... It's not that much different for Oliver.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wow, that's you're dialing it up just slightly, man.
This is still in his wheelhouse.
Right in there.
What's his name? Tom Cavanaugh is great at playing that sort of, like, more delightfully evil. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, because that was the character they started off playing in season one.
But you buy him all these different versions of this character he's played.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
It's really, yeah, and I don't know how much you've seen of clips of him from, because last season, and I don't know what even happened to this version of him, but he played kind of a dunce who was really good at marketing, but who wasn't like super good at actual science.
Wasn't a
genius.
It wasn't like a scientist guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Earth
But who still wanted to help out so much.
Yeah, yeah. And he was super... But and for a while, he was trying to trick everybody into thinking, and it lasted like 3 episodes, and they figured out that he was not that smart. That it wasn't eccentric genius, it was just eccentric. And then this one is like Earth 2, and he's way more serious and kind of more stubborn. And then we have evil Erebon Thawne, which is still, I think, technically the same, like the same consciousness that was in season one, even though through timey-wimey time force stuff has come back multiple times. I mean, he's mostly been throwing around in Legends of Tomorrow, but with his original face. And in this one, he was just like, hi, Barry, I decided to put this face on. I can do that for a reason. Shut up. It makes total sense. Also, I'm working with Nazis now?
Yeah.
I don't know why that was a part of my... why that was ever a part of it, but it's fine. And then he also mentioned, and here's the thing, we talked about this, like, where's, like, so is Clark around? But Erebon specifically mentions fighting Kara's cousin. And I'm like, when? Where? Yeah. Which Earth are you talking about, man? None of this, this just raises further questions. I am so frustrated with this universe. And,
let's go ahead and put this out there that if any of you, dear listeners, know any of these answers that we have missed, please tell us by all means. Yeah. Tweet at us, write in something
right now.
I would love to know.
So I'm trying to think where I guess.
And so then they fight the Nazis, and in the end they win. So folks, that was a good episode. And,
no. No, we got more to talk about because we have not even gotten to.
We're still like in the first half of the first episode.
Yeah, so let's just. I'll say probably the least elegant. I'll say least elegant part of this crossover was the part where they just dropped them into a concentration camp, and
Episode 3 just starts off.
Episode 2 like had very little, honestly, like it was mostly just filling in exposition.
They're figuring it out and they have some interactions and they get into some fights and stuff, and everybody's kind of like figuring out what's going on, and everybody's kind of getting brought together, and you know, blah blah blah, we're kind of finding out what the bad guy's plans are. It's filling in sort of all the gaps to put us on the road for good guys getting beaten and dropped in the middle of a concentration camp on Earth X, where people they don't have their power. They've got X-Men style energy power dampening collars, which is just like, oh, okay. Oh, I guess in Ollie's case, they're just handcuffs. But sorry, sick burn on the guy with no powers.
I mean, I guess it was just more of a just in case. But yeah, they drop them in a... First of all, we were originally going to watch these in two parts. So I had... The first night, I had... Like, that I watched the first two episodes. And then it ended there. And I was like, I have to wait. You put them in a concentration camp, and now I have to wait to record and then watch again?
We were afraid that if we watched ahead and then tried to record... just about the first half, we would be like, we wouldn't, our answers would, our, you know, sort of our thoughts on it would be too clouded by what we know is going to happen.
Yeah. But then yeah, and that's
eventually
fine.
We were like, screw it. Let's just watch the whole thing and then talk about it.
Yeah. But, so I was like, okay, I'm going to watch the third episode and see where they take it. And they luckily do not, because again, it's one thing for them to punch Nazis. And again, having two queer women have a one night stand and then immediately fight Nazis and like high five each other mid fighting Nazis. Like there is something very satisfying. And the fact
absolutely.
That there's so many, we'll talk about it later, but there are lots of Jewish characters who that are like a core part of the show or the shows that get to fight back. There are other marginalized groups that get to fight back. I think that there's a lot of catharsis in this crossover. However, I feel like this was a you tried shows, but you didn't quite hit the mark when you show a concentration camp that's mostly like just people in those costumes walking around in the background. That's not what they were like. And your fun super corny superhero crossover just got real dark in a way that I don't think you handled perfectly. And you kind of needed to handle it perfectly.
You're in that's like a real tricky.
It's tricky, yeah.
It's like a real fine line to try to tread where you're going like, we want this to seem really bad. We want to use this imagery to show off just how bad, you know, to really give you a glimpse of, because you don't see a lot of the Nazi Earth for a lot of it. It's mostly like they're coming to our, but then they go like, we want to show just like how awful it is there, but we also can't, this is like a big corporate, popular brand, multi-night event for our network that's like we can't go too dark with it. So
it was not the best. I think the fact that they get away with they leave that fairly quickly was the smarter move.
Well, I mean they cut away from it to other stuff going on, but they do come back to them being it takes all of them a while to get everybody, you know, out of there and stuff. So,
yeah. I like.
Oh, you know what? An important thing we missed from like the first episode it ends up playing like a very important role. Speaking of stuff with like the flat and things that are going to play out in the future. In the first episode, we have this thing happen where they have figured out a way to cure. In quotes.
Yeah, I figured we would talk about this.
Professor Stein and what is the other guy's name? I don't even
Jefferson Jackson.
Yeah. So I'm like a huge Firestorm fan from the comics. Yeah. But the version of him that I was first introduced to was, of course, Professor Stein and Ronnie Raymond. And then after that, in like the early 2000, like, I want to say like around 2003, they introduced a new character where it was, I think it was maybe when they first reintroduced it, but it was a character named Jason Rush, who became like the new kid that's like turns into Firestorm. And then part of it was like, he was in like the Firestorm Matrix with Professor Stein, I think. But then he was also, then they later changed it where he's in there with Ronnie Raymond and they're like going back and forth, switching to who, anyway. So, but this, I have not watched like hardly any of Legends. And I know that there was a Ronnie Raymond on,
on the Flash
version of Firestorm on Flash, and then he died because he's Killer Frost. She's Killer Frost, right?
Now she is. It's a Hulk-esque situation with her, where what they say that like they say in this like crossover, it's whenever she's afraid or scared. I'm like, she seems to be scared at will because they're like, we need you. And then suddenly
seems like she can just turn it on because she did not seem that first time when Cisco tells her to turn into her. She's just like, all right, let's do that. You know, that kind of thing.
Apparently, but they haven't been using her a lot. Like that's the response I saw was that this was the most she's used her powers. And so the people
the actress or they're not using
her? They're not using her as much as Killer Frost. which is weird. I don't know.
Okay.
And I this is hearsay, so I can't.
Okay.
So I will say, as someone who's watched some of Legends of Tomorrow, that the one thing about
this thing that they can cure them, and then if they cure them, they both get to go about their separate lives, and because Professor Stein wants to go home and just be with his family. And, but of course,
especially because his daughter is actually, was actually a time anomaly, because he basically, he went back in time to the 60s, I think. And he basically convinced his younger self to be better to his wife, and they ended up having a child. So when the next time he went to the present, suddenly there's this woman in his house, and she's like, "Dad," and he's like, "Oh my god, what did I do?"
Yeah,
yeah. So
and they keep calling him.
That's what this show is. That's why Legends is so good.
His name is, they keep calling him Jax, though, right?
Yeah, because for Jackson.
Yeah. I think that was maybe what was throwing me off. I was like, wait, I don't know anyone named Jax.
I completely forgot. This is why I have IMDb up, because there are lots of characters.
And I was about to ask if you still had that up, because there was a couple characters I wanted to ask about.
Yeah, but, I absolutely do, because I had a couple of questions too.
Yeah, that they have this big thing, though, that it's like a very important character moment, or in their, not character moment, but sort of like a big, this plays a big part in their arc.
Yeah.
And then in the overall story of this crossover is the fact that it's like, he still wants to be a hero, but also he doesn't, like, there was like some really very, like, kind of got you right there in the feels, like, parts when,
because
he seems mad about it, and Professor Stein is all like, oh, he's just upset because he still wants to be a superhero, and he thinks I'm messing it up for him. And so he's trying to, like, figure out, and that he feels, one, he's so hurt that he's leaving, but he's also so hurt that he doesn't get that that's why he's upset. And then they finally have that thing where it's just like, just talk about it, you dummies.
Yeah.
And then they talk about it, and it's like a great emotional scene where they talk it all out, and it's like, oh, this is so touching. I know that something terrible is going to happen.
Here's the thing. I knew Victor Garber was planning to leave the show anyway.
No, well, I did not know that.
So when they were like, oh, you're a few days left from retirement with your potion, I was like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly. So I was prepared. I really need to, like I said, I need to go back and watch more of Legends. But from what I've seen, the show actually does a very good job of building up the characters and their relationships. I've heard that Jackson gets to do a lot, and that his relationship with Stein is kind of a core part that's been built up. So
I don't think there's any way that they treat the character. I feel like they have to do a very sort of powered down version of Firestorm on this show, from what I've seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of them not using the powers until, like, a fight happens, basically.
Firestorm is an almost laughably overpowered character if he's written
exactly.
Right.
It's also kind of nice, though, because, like, they do a pretty good job of, and granted, I'm sure that the show has messed up just like Flash has and all the other ones have in terms of racial representation and everything. But I will say that they do a pretty good job of, when they go back in time, of, like, the marginalized characters pointing out, like, when things were racist, when things were sexist, when things were homophobic, and, like, how none of these were the good old days.
Yeah.
I think when they go back to, like, the 60s, and Stein's like, ah, yes, my youth, when things were so great, and Jax was like, yeah. Yeah, for you.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to wait in the ship.
I'm going to wait. Yeah, exactly.
That's really awesome to hear that they do directly address that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I don't know. I don't want to get my stamp of approval on every episode, because I haven't seen them all. And I'm sure that they've messed up, like the other shows have, in terms of certain plot points.
Yeah.
But
it's just
they
nice
do a
to
better
know that
job of addressing it.
Yeah, if they're even trying, that is a big step up from some shows, you know? And
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Hey, sometimes, like, things can always kind of be better. There's always room to improve, but man, if you're even trying, good.
Yeah. And so their relationship is really strong from everything I've seen. And this kind of goodbye to Victor Garber was done so well. And I was going to talk about this later, but like I was like, I don't remember if I was actually crying. He gets shot trying to like
do something.
Yeah. To get them home. And because he's basically the last person. And then later on, they connect this firestorm. We're going to go back and talk about episode three, cause we kind of jumped ahead, but we can talk about this first. Yeah. And basically them connecting as Firestorm kept Stein alive enough to get him to the other universe so that they could put him on the future ship and have him...
The Wave
his
Rider.
Wounds fixed. Yeah, because, like, one of the things on that show, too, is that, like, whenever there's an injury, they can usually go to the ship pretty quickly and suture it back up.
And the ship's got a robo doctor, basically. Hologram yes. doctor, kind of... The ship is
sort
smart.
Of. It's not quite like Voyager, but yeah, there's an AI.
That's exactly. Thank you. Voyager was exactly what I was trying to get at.
Yes,
I couldn't remember exactly.
It's not that quite as independently sentient.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I couldn't
Gideon.
Remember what they call him on what the name for what he is
yeah.
on there is.
The female sounding voice is named Gideon. And I'm looking to see what else she has been in because I'm curious. Amy Louise Pemberton, and it looks like she's been largely in video game stuff, but she's been playing Gideon since the first season.
That name sounds like a little familiar. Like, oh, and of course that voice is great. So it sounds like the kind of person who's like, oh, this is a voiceover person. This is a person
yeah,
who...
Yeah, it looks like she's largely done a lot of a decent amount of voiceover across things. A lot of superhero voiceover stuff, too.
I love that the ship is called the Wave Rider, because Wave Rider is another ridiculous, like, 90s DC character that I love that is, like, more a look than a character. But yeah. It does make me a little bummed out that it's like, oh, that because they named the ship that means this character is probably never, ever going to show up.
Or they're going to show up and they're going to be like, oh, that's why the ship's named that, because, like, he was inspired or something. So, you know, the evil version of Gideon that we see later on is voiced by an actress named Susanna Thompson, who played the Borg Queen on Star Trek Voyager.
Oh.
So it all comes back together. she was also Moira Queen on Arrow, which makes sense it is Ollie, evil Ollie's ship. So she must, he made, which it seems so much like Ollie in general that...
Yeah, and makes it, for all, that seems like an overly sentimental kind of thing to do for as much as he's talking about
or
how, like...
Or, like, really creepy, like...
Well, okay.
That's some fixation stuff. I know, but I'm, like...
Well,
yeah,
just all that stuff he's talking about, with, you know, all the hard time he gives Green Arrow about, like, oh, your sentimentality, oh, you're so weak and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're kind of doing some stuff. He seems not different enough from regular Ollie.
Yeah. I'm going to jump back, and I don't even know the character's name, but I know enough to know that he's dead and that it caused feelings on Arrow.
He's talking about,
but like,
Tommy Merlin.
Yes.
Who turns out is...
That was actually a pretty great scene, because I was thinking, as it was happening, he was like,
"You buy
you
it."
Know, they put us. Oh, I did not. Oh. I was confused because, sorry, I mean, I kind of did, because I was like, okay, I guess the show's really going to, like, evil people can change.
Yeah.
But it was like, this seems really fast for someone who was indoctrinated from birth to, like, to be okay with fascism, and for him to be, like, so quickly. And then it was like, haha, psych, I'm killing myself now.
It was in the back of my mind. It was in the back of my mind that he was going to, like, pull a bad guy thing. But I was like, I guess it's that part of me that likes to hope for the best, where I was like, oh, man, yeah, I bought it, you know, there was that moment where I was just like, oh, man, okay, yeah, this is going to be so great for Ollie. Cause it's like, he gets this guy that was, like, his best friend back and blah, 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 you know.
No,
so many, man, I had completely forgot he was completely forgotten he was even in this. And then it's like, oh yeah, okay, I know who you are.
So who else? So I want to get to, in the middle of the concentration camp, we happen to see someone who I gave the show a hard time. I probably shouldn't have been that, but where Jackson, who is a time traveler, who at least knows a little bit about history at this point, goes, "What's the pink triangle for?" to this random person. And this quote-unquote random person goes, like, I loved the wrong person. And I'm like, how did you not... I know the American education system fails in queer history. I know this. And I didn't want to give people too much crap on... Because I had people on Twitter then be like, yeah, I didn't learn about this in high school. But I'm like, but also, this guy's a time traveler. And he also lives in, like, 2017. And he's like... around my age, like a little bit younger than me. I feel like he should know this or be a little more tactful when talking to, you know, concentration camp prisoners. Like, I don't know. I know that from a show point of view, this was done specifically because they wanted to make it very clear that this was a thing. And I can appreciate, especially for younger people, just the fact that they acknowledged it, especially setting up who the character is later on. It still kind of bugged me. But it turns out that Russell Tovoy, who again is an actor who has a distinctive look enough that even if you didn't know he was guest starring in this, you could figure out he was not just a random guy.
Yeah, see these people that have just a little bit too much screen presence once again.
It was also very unnerving because I've only seen him in BBC productions because he was... He was in the episode of Doctor Who, and he was also in the BBC original version of Being Human.
Yeah.
So I know him mostly as a werewolf.
Yeah, it was very disconcerting when they did that American version of Being Human, and I was like, these are not the right people. What's going on?
And then the vampire on that show became, I think he became like the voice of Darth Maul all of the animated Star Wars.
He's the voice of he's like the voice of the Emperor. Unless both of them do voices on, because the guy you're talking about is Sam Witwer.
Yeah.
And he is also keeping it connected to our Supergirl super universe. He is the guy who ends up becoming Doomsday on Smallville, a regular person becomes Doomsday on Smallville for some reason.
Well, it can't be anything. They can't make it too crazy.
Well...
You know, I think I recognize the costume.
All right, folks, we had to stop it right there, unfortunately, because we talked for a very long time about this. And in an effort to, since we've been behind, in an effort to try to get the episode out to you as quick as possible, I thought it would be best just to go ahead and split it up into two episodes, since we talked for like more than another hour still talking about this crossover. But we had a lot of fun talking about it, and that's the important thing. And hopefully you guys will have hopefully you guys will have a fun time listening to it. And that's also the important thing. It won't be a whole nother week before the next episode comes out. It'll come out you'll get it in just a few more days. So check out keepitclosetome.com for all the show notes. That's got all the stuff that we would normally mention at the end of the show. Please check that stuff out. Tell your friends about the show, all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you here in just a few days for another episode of Supergirl Gab.
You good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. My bad. I thought I was waiting on you. Something. Anyway. All right. Here we go.
Yeah. We're good. I just was like, I don't want to be the person that he's in the middle of saying something, like starting it. Yeah, you go.
All right. Here we go.